The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Day after yet another slaughter of innocents by subhumans in Islamic State. Yes, you heard me. The title of today's show is Slush. The wholly owned mouthpieces of liberal special interests are all parroting the party lines. Why, it's not related to Muslims. Why, the bombing in Belgium has nothing to do with Muslims. Don't demonize Islam. It will radicalize otherwise peace-loving Muslims. This is the verbal slush that follows every act of Islamic terror and slaughter. The Muslims are laughing at you. In fact, these ideas may as well have been written by ISIS. They're very clever. I mean, if you think they're not smart, you're mistaken. Never underestimate the Bedouin. The Bedouin is one of the cleverest minds on the planet. And if you were a Bedouin bombing various cities in the West and getting away with it, what would be better than to put out the big lie that if you survey Muslim communities, you're going to radicalize those communities? It couldn't have been written by a PR agent more completely and more intelligently than that. And I wouldn't doubt that a U.S. PR agency came up with that lie. And so I want to talk about the lie being put out by Mayor de Blasio, the communist sympathizer of Manhattan, Bill Bratton, the caponized police commissioner, all the others, the ex-CIA fools who never kept us safe, telling us the big lie that surveying Muslim neighborhoods would radicalize communities. Ted Cruz, to his credit, came out saying we should focus on Islamic terrorism in Muslim neighborhoods. We should target radical Islamic terrorism. He was 100% right. And we learned from the Belgian tragedy that Belgian intelligence had a precise warning that the airport was targeted for the bombing. It came out from Israel today, from Haaretz, that the attack in the subway by the Islamofascists was also likely known in advance by Belgian and Western agencies, and that the plans to bomb were formulated at a de facto ISIS capital called Raqqa in Syria. They have a capital, by the way, the same way the Germans had Berlin, which was eventually firebombed to the ground. That's what's going to happen whether you want it or not. This keeps up, Raqqa will become glass when we have a president who cares more about his people than the New York Times or Wolf Blitzer, that Quisling. Then it gets worse. We learned that Belgium ignored Turkish warning about Brussels attacker, according to Erdogan of Turkey. Listen to what I just said. Don't turn that dial. Don't you dare turn that dial. Belgium had a warning about the Brussels attacker before it happened from the president of Turkey himself. So what's going on? Why are the Europeans so weak? The same reason that Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders are surging, because they have weak populations, fools who have been drugged into submission. And I want to focus directly on the lie that surveying Muslim neighborhoods would radicalize the communities. There's no bigger rubbish than that. And I can prove it. Want me to prove it? When police did severe undercover work on the Italian mafia, that didn't alienate the entire Italian community. In fact, most Italians at the time welcomed the police rounding up the mafia so that the Italian people themselves could be seen as Americans, not as terrorists, or gangsters in that case. Most Americans cheered of Italian, most Americans of Italian descent cheered when the mafioso were arrested, and the scourge of the Black Hand in the early days was eliminated from their immigrant neighborhoods. What a disgrace for Bill Bratton, the NYPD chief, I think he is, I don't know what he is now. He's one of these politicians posing as a policeman. Michael Hayden, the former head of the CIA, another politician, posing as an intelligence man. What a shame that all of these caponized men of America are falling in line with the big lie that by doing what is common sense to keep American people, the American people safe, will make us unsafe. This is right out of Brave New World. You hear what I just said to you? Common sense would dictate that that makes sense. But they're saying it's to make us unsafe. I say shame on all of them. But these men have no shame. They are nothing but political animals. They'd rather that bombs go off than they lose their status among the psychopathic left wing. And that is why it is a big lie to say that it will radicalize Muslims if there is surveillance done in their mosques and their neighborhoods. No, my friends, in order to remain safe, that is the only solution. And let us pray that either Donald Trump or, if necessary, and I prefer Trump, Cruz becomes president, and either of them can override all these cowards and replace them with real patriots to keep us safe from the next attack by the radical Islamists amongst us. That is the opening to the program. I have in my hand a book that I found in my library just by chance this morning, but in my life, nothing is chance. I don't even know how this came in my hand. I'm in an older house that I haven't been in years. I went through a bookcase. This fell on the floor. It's from the year 2003, an unknown book called Leaving Islam by Ibn Warraq, probably a pseudonym. Leaving Islam, Apostates Speak Out. And he talks about why he left Islam. And he talks about what happens to Muslims who leave Islam. Defying the death penalty that all apostates potentially face in the Islamic world, the ex-Muslims represented here feel it is their duty to speak up against their former faith, to tell the truth about the fastest growing religion in the world. These former Muslims, some born into the faith, others Western converts from all parts of the Islamic world, recount how they slowly came to realize that their religion was in many respects unbelievable and sometimes even dangerous. And it's a list of, actually a collection of essays by former Muslims. And it's amazing to read this book. Here's one by a woman named Sina, Why I Left Islam. And she talks about the Prophet himself, and I'm quoting her now. So if you want to get angry, track her down and ask her if she's lying. I'll quote her. I believe when people learn about the unholy lifestyle of the Prophet and the absurdities of the Quran, they will be shocked. At first they will deny, but when they recover from denial, they will be on their way to enlightenment. Our job is to expose Islam, to write the truth about Muhammad's unholy life, his shameful deeds, and his stupid assertions, and bombard the Muslims with facts. These people read what you write. They become angry with you, curse you, insult you, and tell you that after reading your articles, their faith in Islam is strengthened. But that is when you know that you have sown the seed of doubt in their mind. They say all this to you because they are shocked. Now they have entered the stage of denial. The seed of doubt is planted, and it will wait for the first chance to germinate. In some people it takes years, but given the chance, it will eventually germinate. So she says, put doubt into the minds of these worshippers, because they are fellow travelers with terrorism. Did you notice that not one Muslim group in America came out in sympathy for the victims of the Muslim attack? All they did was attack those who would try to prevent such an attack here. Did you notice that the front group for the Muslim Brotherhood, CAIR, did you notice that the president, who seems to me to be very comfortable with the Muslim Brotherhood himself, again put out the big party line that we show strength by showing weakness? That weakness is strength. The man is right out of Brave New World. He's on a tour. It's a spring break for the girls. And there's no better way to spend a spring break than with Air Force One and 300 or more security guards at your expense. Oh, cover it up as a, or some important political trip, of course. But Michelle had some new dresses she had to show in Cuba, each dress costing more than the annual salary of a Cuban. And then there's the mother-in-law traipsing along on the trip. It's spring break. Why not travel to Cuba and South America? It's a good thing to do. After all, it's important family business. You don't come home to reassure Americans that you're going to double down on your efforts to protect them from Islamic terrorism. No, you continue on your South American tour in your last year in office and milk the job for everything you can get out of it. So I want to go back to my main point, which is that surveilling Muslim neighborhoods and radical mosques would radicalize communities. It's a lie. And my proof, or let's say my example, if you don't want to accept it as proof, is that in the early part of the 1900s, when the mafia was gaining its foothold in New York City and other cities, there were anti-mafia police squads composed mainly of Italian Americans. I've studied this in great detail. Italian Americans who were sick of the criminals went to work for the NYPD and other police departments because they had pride in their heritage. And they didn't want to be associated with gangsters. That is until Francis Ford Coppola came along and smeared the entire Italian-American community. But we'll put that aside. He got very rich doing that. As you well know, there's a lot of money in being the Woody Allen of your people. Look how Woody Allen has done by making a mockery of Jewish males. It works. Look what Larry David has made by mocking Jewish males. It works. They're the step and fetch it's of our time. But that's an obscure statement for those of you who understand who step and fetch it was. And I don't care about Larry or Barry or Harry or Schmarry. I care about you understanding that the only way we're going to survive is putting in a strong nationalist, conservative, whatever you want to call them, somebody who will actually stand up and be counted and get rid of the slush in the government. And I want to play some of the sound today that you have to hear. Ted Cruz, Bill Bratton, Hayden. It's unbelievable to listen to this stuff. And then, of course, many of you have been asking me through emails, we're getting them from every quarter, to please replay How Eddie Will Save America. Do you remember that piece from yesterday? I believe it was in the second hour, Robert, was it? In the second hour, I hit a new home run and walked around the bases, and it was at the end of the hour, everyone saying, Michael, that was astounding. Michael, replay it, how Eddie, the sleeping giant, will awaken and how Eddie will save America. And I have it for you. I'll play it for you a little later. We're not ready to replay anything, but it should be replayed. And while we're playing it, I want you to put this into your pipe and smoke it along with your medical marijuana. Obama has granted 680,000 green cards to immigrants from Muslim nations in only 5 years. Listen to what I just said. Almost 700,000 green cards to migrants from majority Muslim countries between 09 and 13. Why would he have done that? Why would he seek out Muslims from Pakistan, Iraq, Bangladesh, Iran, Egypt, Somalia, Uzbekistan, Turkey, Morocco, Jordan, Albania, Lebanon, Yemen, Indonesia, Syria, Sudan, Afghanistan, and other countries? Why would he do this? Why would he flood America with 700,000 Muslims from these countries? The numbers could be very high, much higher than that even. See, they all have family members that they can bring in. And they usually bring in a woman who gives birth the second she gets here. Now, you do the permutations and combinations. And before you open your big mouth and tell me that I'm a racist or a bigot, I want you to study the history of Lebanon and what happened to it once the Palestinians moved into Lebanon and brought Islam with them. Lebanon was considered the Paris of the Middle East when it was run by Maronite Christians. Did you know that? It's a very, very disturbing fact for all the Larry Davids of the world and all of the knee-jerk liberals like Woody Allen and Robert De Niro, for that matter. The whole Hollywood crowd, apparently they are not as smart as they appear. They're rich, yes. Powerful, yes. But they have no knowledge of the real world, only how to make a buck and put out pornography and violence. So they don't know the history of Lebanon. Lebanon was a wonderful nation. Maronite Christians ran it. And then along came the PLO, descended into civil war, chaos, and became a broken nation state. Look at every other nation where there's been a Muslim domination and tell me you would want to live there. Tell me you'd want to live there, Larry. Why don't you move there, Larry David, and see if they'll let you make your movies mocking your own people. Or you, Woody Allen, you've made a good career mocking your own people. Why don't you move to a Muslim-dominated nation? Or you, Bill de Blasio, why don't you move to a Muslim-dominated nation and see how well they would treat you? Belgium ignored Turkish warning about Brussels attacker, according to Turkish President Erdogan. So now Belgium says, wait a minute, we don't know how this happened. And people are saying after Brussels, will Europe finally crack down on terror, Israel-style? Will America finally crack down on terror, Israel-style? Will they or won't they? Or will we live with the verbal slush of the liberal establishment? I'm Michael Savage. I'll be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO.
We see the impact in such an intimate way of the attacks that they make. But we defeat them in part by saying, you are not strong. You are weak. We send a message to those who might be inspired by them to say, you are not going to change our values of liberty and openness.
And unlimited travel. Unlimited dress. Unlimited food for the mother-in-law. Those are our values. Those are the values of the Obamas. The peripatetic president. Look it up. It's not a dirty word. I realize many of you can't go beyond a single syllable, maybe two syllables the most, but there's actually a word, the peripatetic president. I learned it in high school. But we're talking about the lie that surveying Muslim neighborhoods would radicalize communities, the biggest lie of our time. Radicalize them? Oh, you mean they're not radicalized now? Did any of them stand up after the Belgian bombings and say we're in solidarity with the Belgian citizens? Or I heard there were sweets handed out in the ISIS communities. Were any handed out in Jersey City this time, like after 9/11? Anyone know about Jersey City after 9/11, about the sweets? Oh, I know, that's not true. We make those things up. We make all this stuff up. There was a book a few years ago entitled The Nazi Connection to Islamic Terrorism, Adolf Hitler and Haj Amin al-Husseini by Chuck Morse. Fabulous book. He writes, in the process of introducing terror into the Middle Eastern, the modern Middle East, al-Husseini played a significant role in promoting a particularly virulent strain of fundamentalist Islam. National socialism and later communism, as embraced by the Islamists, would lend a modern pseudo-scientific gloss to certain ancient ideas contained within Islam, and al-Husseini was a major bridge figure in that transformation. He writes, there should be no question about the fact that al-Husseini was one of the most rabid and vicious anti-Semites in history. His name should be enshrined in the same rogues gallery of Jew haters as Pharaoh, Haman, Antiochus, Titus, Hadrian, Chomenki, and of course Hitler, with whom he was a collaborator. You could add a few more names to that list. They're modern American popular figures. But it's not Jews they're killing right now, because the Jews locked their nation down behind a large wall, which is why Trump is going to win. We need a large wall, and we need deportation proceedings.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
What I'm talking about is focusing law enforcement and national security resources on areas, on locations where there is a higher incidence of radical Islamic terrorism. One of the tragic reasons we saw this attack yesterday in Brussels is that Europe's failed immigration laws have allowed vast numbers of radical Islamic terrorists to come into Europe.
So Ted Cruz is 100% right. Who could disagree with him? Why? Let's see. Mayor de Blasio of New York, the communist sympathizer. Let's see. Mr. Hayden, the former CIA director. Let's see. Barack Obama, the traveling president who was nowhere to be found. Let's see, Dianne Feinstein of the Senate Intelligence Committee, who has nothing to say. I guess she's busy seeing if there's a shopping cart deal that can be done somewhere in China. She's too busy to pay. Have you heard anything from Dianne Feinstein? Can you imagine this woman, this octogenarian, has nothing to say about a terror attack like this here in San Francisco? Where is she? What is she doing? Probably steering contracts is what she's doing. Too busy to pick her head up from the till. What a country we're living in. You talk about corruption. How much more corrupt does it get than Dianne Feinstein, who sits on the Senate Intelligence Committee, and the day after a major intelligence attack, a day after attack like this in Europe, has nothing to say. Zero. Out to lunch. But she's just one of many of the slush in the administration. Now we wake up. Are you ready for this story? ISIS trains 400 killers to attack Europe in a wave of bloodshed. Security officials have told the Associated Propagandists that the Islamic State Group, notice it's called the Islamic State Group, not the Buddhist State Group, not the Jewish State Group, not the Christian State Group, not the Hindu State Group, not the Zoroastrian State Group, not the Hindi State Group. The Islamic State Group has trained at least 400 attackers and sent them into Europe for terror attacks. The officials say the killers have been given orders to find the right time, place, and method to carry out their mission. So what are they sitting still for and waiting? Why don't they grab them by the hair and rip them out of the apartments and mosques that they're hiding? And they know where they are. They know where they are. I mean, they came in under the guise of asylum. How many have come into this country under Obama's open-door policy? How many are sitting here right now waiting to attack? Would you know? Is it 400? Is it 40? Is it 4? Is it 4,000? Is it 40,000? Is it 400,000? How many are waiting to attack? How many are getting their orders from somewhere else? Common sense would say what you do is you monitor the Muslim communities, because that's where the attacks are coming from. And as I said at the beginning, and I'll keep repeating today till you get the message, I'll say it over and over again, that it's a big lie that's being repeated over and over again as though it's the truth, that by surveying Muslim neighborhoods, you're going to radicalize Muslims. That's a total lie. And my proof is that when the Italian communities had too many gangsters in the Italian communities, the police set up special surveillance groups to focus on the Black Hand. Rudy Giuliani made his name how? How did Rudy Giuliani make his name? By focusing on the Italian mafia, didn't he? Did the Italian communities become radicalized? Did Italian-American kids join gangs? No. They cheered when the gangsters were outed by Giuliani so that their community's name would be cleared finally. And by the way, let me take it a step further and in another direction, in case you can't follow the logic. I realize logic is in short demand and short supply in America today. But here's another piece of logic which you haven't learned in school today. They don't teach you logic and scientific method. They teach you feeling and sensitivity. Okay? Here's a little logic for you. World War II, Japanese, war with Japan, attack on Pearl Harbor, liberal President FDR enters Japanese Americans. I think 4,000 were put into camps. What happened? What did the young men do whose parents were interred in American internment camps of Japanese ancestry? What did the young men do? Did they go to Japan and fly kamikaze missions against America? No. What the young Japanese Americans did, which is so admirable, it's unbelievable. It brought tears to my heart when I saw a show on one of them the other day. He's 90 years old. He died right after the show aired. They enlisted in a special Japanese-American unit, the 442, if I'm not mistaken. And the 442, consisting of short Japanese-Americans, were sent to Europe to fight Hitler's supermen. And they were some of the most ferocious warriors of all in World War II. They were Japanese Americans. And why were they fighting so ferociously in the Italian campaign in particular to take down Nazis deeply dug in to hillsides and to rescue the lost battalion where many of them died? Why did the Japanese Americans fight to the death on behalf of America's military? Because they wanted to exonerate their people from the idea that all Japanese Americans were disloyal to this country. Where are the Muslim Americans equal to the 442? Has anyone put that out? Raise your hand if you've seen a 442 of Muslims here in the United States of America. Has there been one created? Instead, we hear the opposite. We hear that by looking inside the Muslim communities for the next bomber to stop them, you're going to radicalize Muslims, which is rubbish, a total lie. It's the big lie. It's being put out. It's the slush. It's mental slush. It's slush. But we heard it around the clock yesterday. The only ones who said to the contrary that I know of were Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, and me. I didn't hear it anywhere else. Now you have a New York Police Department politician, not really a police commissioner. Police commissioners are politicians. They would throw policemen to the jaws of hell rather than ever admit that they were wrong. So here is one of the most politicized police department chairman, whatever you call it, in history. Bill Bratton did a terrible job in Los Angeles. And according to the PETA principle, they bounced him up to New York. And so now the NYPD police commissioner, Bill Bratton, Bratwurst would tell you more. You get more truth out of Bratwurst than you would out of Bratton. He blasts Ted Cruz over Muslim comments. Listen to this in clip 8 on the Savage Nation.
I would remind the senator he lives in the United States of America. And the statements he made today is why he's not going to become president of this country. Because we don't need a president that doesn't respect the values that form the foundation of this country. I have over 900 very dedicated officers in this department, many of whom do double duty. They serve as active duty members of the U.S. military in combat, something the senator has never seen. So before he starts denigrating any population group, take a close look at who he's denigrating.
You just denigrated the New York Police Department, and more particularly, you denigrated yourself, Bratton. What are you talking about? What kind of sense did he just make? What do you mean denigrating a community? Ted Cruz never denigrated Muslim communities. He said, look into Muslim communities for the next terrorist and make the Muslim communities turn them in. How many Muslim communities have turned in terrorists over the last few years? Do you know of any? Now we have the former NSA and CIA director. That tells you all you need to know about the NSA and CIA, which is basically turned on the American people. The NSA and CIA, what percent of their time is spent listening and looking at American citizens who are conservatives rather than, let us say, amongst communities where there's a higher likelihood that they're going to find the next terrorist? Listen to 9.
We don't have radicalized communities in the United States. We have some radicalized individuals. We have it within our ability, however, to create radicalized communities.
Here we go.
And we ought to take every step not to do that. Our cultural bent towards assimilation is a strategic and operational advantage. Put aside the question of American values, it makes us more safe than our European friends.
Okay, again, mental slush. Mental slush coming out of the mouths of NYPD police politician Bill Bratton. The slush coming out of a man who ran the NSA and the CIA, can you imagine? No wonder we're losing the war against ISIS. With men like Hayden and Bill Bratton and Obama, that's why ISIS is metastasizing and we can't defeat the ragtag army. It's because of this mindset, in my opinion. In my opinion. How about your opinion? It counts on the Savage Nation. You want to be radicalized? They've radicalized us? But we don't have any leadership, do we? Oh, yes, we do. Oh, we have a lot of men who are radicalized in this country. They're fuming. They have pipe wrenches in their hand. They have tools in their hand. They have blood in their eyes. And they've been told that they're bad. These are the men who went to war against Superman in World War II and wiped the floor with Hitler. These are the men who defeated Hitler, the average man, the Eddie man. I told you about him yesterday. Don't underestimate the millions of men who are ready to fight and die for this country who are not even in the military. They're all over the place. Open your eyes. They've been denigrated, put down. But you see, they've been written off by Wolf Blitzer and by the fakers in the news business as a non-voting population. First, we had the feminization of America, which denigrated the real American male. Now we have the Islamization of America going on a good 8 years now. First it was feminized, now it's being Islamicized. But I tell you right now, maybe 30 million American males are not ready to go down the road of feminization nor Islamization. They would die for this country and they're not even in the military. That is the exact population that is responding to Donald Trump and somewhat to Ted Cruz, mainly to Donald Trump. He is speaking for these silent Eddies. Make no mistake about it. Eddie is still here. He hasn't voted because he gave up on the system given to guys like John Boehner, Mitch McConnell, and this guy Ryan. He knows that they're all sellout liars. So Eddie wouldn't vote. He knows he voted last time. He voted and he got the opposite of what he voted for. So they neutralized him on purpose so they could elect another stooge. But now, all of a sudden, out of the blue, there appears a Donald Trump who says he speaks for the Eddies, who are willing to kill for the country. And what happens? The media castigates both Donald Trump because he's the leader of the Eddies, and then they castigate the Eddies himself as being primitivists, nativists, throwbacks, Neanderthals. It doesn't matter what names are thrown at them, they're still here. They're near, they're everywhere, and they are not the silent majority. They are the silenced majority, and they're not silent anymore. You're gonna hear from them more and more as the year goes on. You're going to hear from them more and more. You see, the difference between America and Europe can be found in the First and Second Amendments. They don't have a First Amendment in Europe. Did you know that? Many of you don't know that. You hear, oh, Europe is just like America. Oh, no, that's why Obama wants to drag us into a European-style governance. So we can eliminate the First Amendment or modify it so that it doesn't even have any meaning. He wants to get rid of the First Amendment or modify the First Amendment so it has no meaning. Remember this, and I'll tell you this, I'm an expert on the First Amendment. I am the only member of the American media banned from entering Britain. They let in hundreds of thousands of murderous Muslims who say, kill the Queen, and I'm not allowed in England because they've been Islamicized after being feminized in England. Okay? Do you know that England has no First Amendment? Did you know that? They do not have the right to free speech and freedom of the press. Now, coupled with that, England has no Second Amendment, nor does Belgium, nor does France. They have no First Amendment, no Second Amendment. These two amendments are the crux of our freedoms. All of them are dependent on the Second, which protects the First. You lose the Second, you're going to have the First chipped away by Hillary Clinton, as sure as I'm sitting here. And the 30 million American Eddies know this. They're not stupid. Their fathers fought at the Battle of Bastogne. Their fathers fought across Europe. Their fathers fought and lived in the ice and snow. Their fathers fought at the reservoir in Korea. Their fathers fought in Vietnam. They're not dead yet. Despite all of the snide pieces of garbage that you see espousing their snide little comments on MSNBC and all of the other alphabet stations of hatred. You watch that show, I watched it last night, I couldn't watch it, I couldn't even watch the returns coming in from Arizona, Utah, and elsewhere. When I saw Rachel Maddow's face, I had to turn the television off. I saw this snide, snotty girl. The snide, snottiest girl on television. And then you see the other people, hating America in every word, curling their lips at everything decent about this country, in their positions, only because America has been feminized and Islamicized. I said to myself, as I said, I've had enough of this. I didn't even know if Trump had won when I changed it. I wouldn't even watch. You know what I watched for 2 straight hours? I went all the way up in a higher channel. I watched a movie from 2002 called The Count of Monte Cristo. And I couldn't believe how well done it was. It was a revenge movie. A man who was set up by a prosecutor in France who wants to take his girlfriend away, and another man who wants to take his fortune away, and he's sent to sort of a worse than Devil Island place, written a long time ago by a great French novelist. And now he lives for 16 years in this hellhole of a prison, and he finally escapes, and then he spends the rest of this entire plot on revenge to get even with the men who plotted to kill him. It was phenomenal. It was so well done that I was refreshed to just watch it. Why? The theme was revenge. There are millions of us who want revenge in this nation. We want revenge against the Islamic State. We want revenge against CARE. We want revenge against the enemies within. We want revenge against the TV mockers. We want revenge against all those forces who have submitted this nation to a humiliation. And at that pleasant note, I'll take a quick break.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO.
Groups like ISIL can't destroy us. They can't defeat us. They don't produce anything. They're not an existential threat to us. They are vicious killers and murderers who perverted one of the world's great religions, and their primary power, in addition to killing innocent lives, is to strike fear in our societies.
Well, you have no fear.
To disrupt
you travel. What do you,
our
do you
societies.
Have you should have no fear. You're above it all. You're above it all. You have 5,000 Praetorian Guard. You have the best intelligence services dedicated only to protecting the Fuhrer. And so, therefore, you're not touched by it. In fact, you stayed at a baseball game in Cuba after you heard about it. You didn't want to have your game interrupted as Nero. Nero fiddled while Rome burned. And you sat with one of the worst killers on the planet and made believe nothing was wrong in Cuba. Wonderful family you brought along to polish the image of the dictatorship. Great job. Great job speaking out of both sides of his mouth. Line 3, Marty, we don't have much time. I'll get to you in the next hour. We have such great callers. And I don't want to summarize what I've already said, but I said a lot. If you care to disagree with me, don't go away mad. Just go to NPR. Well, do me a favor. Turn to MSNBC for your source of truth.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Mm-hmm.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Here in New York City, under Mayor Bloomberg, there was a program of proactive policing that engaged cooperatively with Muslim communities to stop radicalization and to apprehend, to anticipate and stop radical Islamic terrorist attacks before they occur. Mayor Bill de Blasio, in a fit of political correctness, canceled that program. And it makes no sense for us to be less than vigilant.
Well, that's a great opening. It's Ted Cruz specifically targeting de Blasio's insanity as to why we are more vulnerable today to a Muslim terror attack than we were before. And today's show, again, the theme is slush. Day after yet another slaughter of innocents by subhumans in Islamic State, the wholly owned mouthpieces of liberal special interests all parrot the same party lines. Same party lines. Not related to Islam. Not related to Muslims. Hijack the great religion. Don't demonize Islam. If you do, it'll radicalize otherwise peace-loving Muslims. The same verbal slush that follows every act of Islamic terror and slaughter is what we're hearing now, but in a new form, a greater form, a mammoth form, because the chief liar, who is now on a big trip for spring break, has put out the big lie that it's people who hijacked the great religion, don't demonize, don't look within the mosques. Now, I have to repeat what I said yesterday. Liberal France, socialist France, Hollande, socialist, liberal. Even in liberal France, they want to live rather than die. And because they want to live, they have closed down about 20 mosques, the last I checked, where known preachers of hate were espousing hate in the freest country in Europe. They know there's limits to freedom. They understand that. You can't let people into your country who would kill you or convert you or turn your wife into a something lower than an animal unless you have a death wish. Apparently, we have a death wish in America. Apparently, the French have more of a life wish than we do here, at least in my opinion. And I have to say, Ted Cruz was right on the money. Now, I had Donald Trump on yesterday. He said more or less the same things, but not as specifically as Cruz. And just for a moment to talk about the primaries, which I did watch after watching The Count of Monte Cristo for two straight hours. Great version, 2002. It's about revenge. Wonderful revenge fantasy. Super high-end production. Loved it. I had never seen the movie. I think James Cavazel played The Count of Monte Cristo. And it, unbelievable. I missed it when it came out. But it was about revenge. And we in America are suffering a desire for revenge like you've never seen. A revenge against the Islamists, both external and internal, and revenge especially against the vermin in the media who have attacked the eddies of this country, who are the last link between us and survival. So don't think that the people are gone just because you don't hear from them. They're being heard at every primary. They're coming out in droves at every primary. And so Trump handily won Arizona, and sadly, I must tell you that in Utah, they stuffed ballot boxes and gave it to Ted Cruz. There were reports that in this insular Mormon nation, state of Utah, pardon me, people were reporting, quote, I literally had over 50 ballots in my hand. They were stuffing ballot boxes in Utah. But this goes on in all insular religious communities. You will see this kind of behavior because they're all one and the same, part of the same group. And apparently this group wanted Ted Cruz to win, and they apparently cheated to make sure Ted Cruz won. Let's hope that such cheating doesn't go on across America in the general election. Now let's go on to some of the callers who've been holding. Hour two is with us. By the way, in this hour, I'm going to shift that 30 minutes after to a very important topic. There was a headline yesterday. Court rebukes IRS for Tea Party targeting, orders release of secret list by Steve Deenan of the Washington Times, and they lost. A federal appeals court spanked the IRS yesterday, saying it had taken laws designed to protect taxpayers from the government and instead turned them on their head, using them to protect the tax agency from the very Tea Party groups it targeted. And the group that has been fighting the IRS for years will be with us. the NorCal Tea Party group. Ginny Rapini will be with us to talk about this lawsuit against the IRS that they finally won. And you're going to find out that there may be some heads that will roll in the IRS, and some of them may actually go to prison after Obama is gone from office. Let's hope so, because, again, we need revenge. There has to be consequences for violating the Constitution. There have to be consequences for blowing up innocent women and children. There have to be consequences for hiding Muslims who will kill amongst other Muslims who won't kill. There have to be consequences for being mouthpieces for extremism and terrorism. Yes, my friends, that's exactly what's going on in this election right now, in this pre-election. CFO Georgia, Marty, you're up. Say it like it is, my friend. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, it's a pleasure. Thanks for the airtime. I don't really take time and waste my precious time to call talk shows, but you struck a nerve yesterday. I found out that my mother named me wrong because my name is Eddie. And I've been saying this for years because I've lived the American dream. I've had a good life, and I am sick and tired of being poked in the face from Bush to Clinton's to Obama's. I'm done, and I am willing, and I hope they're listening, I'm willing to lay down my life for this country because it's going in the wrong direction, and I cannot take it, and I would do it for your grandchild, my grandchildren, and for all the people that are not going to get the American dream that I had.
Marty, there's 30 million people like us, and they've written us off as dead white males who are dying off. Well, let me tell you something, Marty. We're very much alive and kicking, and we're not dead yet, and we're just liable to win this election. And when we do, there's going to be hell to pay for those who have stolen our birthright. Did I say what you wanted to say, Marty, in a different way?
You said it not only perfectly, but I'm just hoping that the other Eddies are listening and they need not think that they're alone with this, because I've been screaming this for years. That
right. The nation was first feminized for 30 years. It has now been Islamicized by Obama for 8 straight years. God knows we're at the end of the road. Either we save it or we lose it forever. And our children will be the victims if we lose it. Marty, thank you for listening and thank you for calling the program. WMAL, Don, Line 8, go ahead. You have the air. Go ahead and use it.
Dr. Michael Savage, thank you very much. I wanted to call in and say I am Eddie as well, like the other caller said. I am Eddie. What you said, you had my scalp, the hair on my scalp was standing up. I was actually physically moved by what you were saying about the veterans of this country. And we really do need to stand up. This is the last cycle of elections. If we don't get the ballot box, it's going to be the cartridge box. I don't see any other way to save America. That's all I really
want. There's nothing more I can say. I know that. I know that 30 million people are at their breaking point. They've been, not only have they had their birthright stolen, but they've had their votes stolen by electing phony Republicans like John Boehner, McConnell, and now Ryan. They are the enemy themselves. Couldn't have done a worse job to us than they did. We went to the ballot box, and look what we got. We got worse than if we had not gone to the ballot box. And so this is the last, this is the Alamo, what's coming up in November. This is the Alamo for all of us. And if we wind up, God forbid, with a harridan like Hillary Clinton, she'll go after the Second Amendment first and the First Amendment second. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO. I've had a very difficult morning of reflection. From the minute I woke up, when I turned the TV on and I saw the scenes of blood, faces blown off, babies crying. And then I heard the statement from the Islamofascists saying that all the people of Belgium are soldiers, which is why we attacked them. There are no innocent civilians because they're all soldiers because they're bombing our brethren in our homeland. I said this is the kind of justification the Nazis used in their total conquest of Europe. We are facing what I called Islamofascists. I wrote it many years ago. People have changed it to other things, but they are Islamofascists. They are the new Nazis of our time. Only instead of wearing a swastika, instead of marching to a German band, instead of reading Mein Kampf, they're using different music and a different book. I'll leave it in those general terms. So I woke up and I said, you know, I've got to do my job today.
But I'm only one man. I'm not bulletproof.
First of all, I'm not bulletproof. Let's start with that. I'm just a man with a microphone, but I know history. And I also know what is going to be done. You know, it doesn't matter whether what I say is done now, it will be done. I can guarantee you as I'm sitting here that the change is occurring as we talk. Not so much only today, but the change has been occurring since Trump appeared on the scene. There is a sleeping giant that is awakening, and the sleeping giant is the blue-collar white man. I don't know how else to put it, but I'll put it the way I know it to be. I used to call them the Eddies of the world. The Eddies who fought in World War II. The Eddies who put down their saw and ceased to be carpenters or electricians or plumbers or farmers and went and fought Superman. It was every man who defeated Superman, never forget it. And then when Eddie came home, he built America to the greatest country on earth in the 1950s, the greatest nation in the history of the world. And then along came William Kunstler, Allen Ginsberg, Timothy Leary, and Bella Abzug. And this group of evildoers, these left-wing drug peddlers and social peddlers, destroyed the will of America. They twisted the entire American mind. Well, you could say it started with the beatniks. I get that. Go, man, go. Well, go, man, go, huh? With the bongo drums and the beard and the sandals. Well, it's went, man, went. Those days are over. And now we have to pick up the pieces because the Eddie is still here. Eddie had children. Never forget it. And not all of Eddie's boys became girls. Not all of Eddie's boys went to Harvard. Not all of Eddie's boys went to NYU. Not all of Eddie's girls went to Columbia Law. Eddie's boys and girls are still in America. These people, these blue-collar families, are still the majority. They're still the backbone. They didn't vote in the last election, but I can guarantee you as I sit here, they're going to vote in the next one. And when this sleeping giant finally elects their leader, you're going to see a change on the globe unlike any you've ever seen in your lifetime, whether you like it or not. And you're going to hear loud outcries, bigot, racism, this, that, Hitler, Mussolini. But those voices will eventually dim. They will be reduced to the marginal characters that they've always been. They'll be put back into the boxes that they came out of. They'll be put back into the closets that they were allowed to flee from. And I can guarantee you, this world will be a safer place even for them.
Savage.
And that is why I am saying to you again today, the lie, the big lie that surveying Muslim neighborhoods would radicalize communities must be stood up to. What a disgrace to wake up to Bill Bratton, the NYPD political chief, Michael Hayden, the political former head of the CIA, and all of the other caponized men of America who are falling in line with the biggest lie of all, that by doing what is common sense to keep America safe will make us unsafe, is right out of Brave New World. I would say shame on all of them, but these men have no shame. They're nothing but political animals. They'd rather bombs that go off than lose their status among the psychopathic liberal establishment. And that is why I believe it is a big lie to keep repeating that it will radicalize Muslims if there is surveillance done on their mosques and neighborhoods. No, my friends, that is absolutely false. And the example I will give again is what went on during the heyday, even the early days of the emergence of the mafia in America, when special police units were sent into Italian-American neighborhoods to look for the criminals. Now, of course, the people were afraid of the Black Hand, and they wouldn't turn them in because they would have been killed. But let me tell you something. As the grip of the Black Hand weakened in America, the Italian community sighed with relief. They welcomed Giuliani rounding up the criminals so that the Italian-American community itself could be seen as one of the American way. And most Americans cheered when Giuliani did this. The same thing must be done now with the Muslim American communities. And they will breathe a sigh of relief when people no longer look upon them with suspicion as they do now. Make no mistake about it. They are looked upon with suspicion. Whether the liberal establishment likes it or not, people look at them and they see certain things in their eyes because we're human beings. We see things, we feel things. And we're not allowed to say these things. And I gave an example in the last hour that's very important and worth repeating. World War II, Japanese internment by a liberal socialist President Roosevelt, who, rightly or wrongly, interred Japanese American citizens. He did so. Let's not argue over that for the moment. And what happened was the young men of Japanese-American ancestry, they didn't go to Japan and ask to become kamikaze pilots. Instead, they were proud to enlist in the 442. The 442 Japanese-American soldiers, specifically Japanese-American, were some of the bravest soldiers in World War II, and they were sent to Italy to fight the Nazis. One particular battle comes to mind. I don't know the name of the hill, but they had to free the lost battalion that was trapped behind German lines. The 442 lost 20% of their men in taking that hill. The most highly decorated unit in World War II were the Japanese Americans who fought. And why did they fight so vociferously? They fought for the honor of their own people. They fought to prove that they were not in sympathy with the mainland Japanese militaristic regime that had attacked us in the Pacific. They wanted to say that they were Americans, and they wanted the people of America to respect them. And let me tell you something, they did after that. There's almost zero prejudice in this country against Japanese, do you know that? Despite the fact that so many people lost relatives in World War II, do you know of any anti-Japanese sentiment in this country? No, you don't. Do you know why? Because of the 442nd, primarily. In essence, they put aside all doubts in America about the Japanese-American community. I'd like to see a 443rd created, a volunteer group of Muslim Americans who say, you know what, we love America, and we want to go fight these enemies of America. We want to prove that Islam is not what most of you think it is. Is that a bad idea? Is there something wrong in even suggesting it? I'll bet you many of you would say, well, that's not American. That's not our values to ask people to fight against who, their own people? But I thought that they're not their own people. I thought that these ISIS people are not Muslims even. They're from Mars, and they practice a religion called Mysis. They're Martians. They're not of America. They're not of the world. They're not practicing an actual religion. Why, it's a Martian religion, according to Barack Obama, Bill Bratton, and Dianne Feinstein, and Machel Ratto. I mixed up her name, but that's closer. Well, attention Tea Party listeners, I'm going to give you some red meat right now. You just had a huge victory yesterday. A federal appeals court spanked the IRS, saying that the IRS under Obama had taken advantage of laws designed to protect taxpayers from the government and turned them on their head. And this is a result of the NorCal Tea Party patriots who sued the Justice Department, I believe. Excuse me, because of all people, as you well know, Obama was behind all of it. The so-called Justice Department represented not the people, but the IRS in the case. And they accused them of acting in bad faith, and they lost. So this is a huge victory for freedom in America. Maybe one day there'll be justice. I certainly don't think there'll ever be revenge for these evildoers in this government under Obama. These oppressive evildoers who hate America and hate Americans who are free. They hate them. Make no mistake about it. They laugh at you every day of your life. They call you names. Don't fool yourself. Ginny Rapini, NorCal Tea Party Group. Ginny, you won a great victory. What's happening next?
Well, as we bask in this victory, as you said, that judge really did spank them yesterday. And this is the second victory we've had this year. And we're only in March. We had the first victory in January where we were actually given the class action status for our lawsuit to move forward. But what this does, this opens the doors for greater discovery, to be able to get the records of the Tea Party groups and other conservative groups that were targeted by the IRS. And when I say targeted, I can tell you firsthand the indescribable pressure that the IRS put on so many groups that many of them folded rather than trying to go through the process.
And this was part of the community organizers' attempt to make certain that conservative groups did not organize. This is what he did. We know that. But who in the IRS is behind all of this? Who might actually be punished, Ginny? At the end of the day, let's say you prevail at the next level, then we get a president who's a Republican, and God willing, we get a conservative Supreme Court. What happens? Who actually gets punished for what they did to your group and so many others in America?
I don't know that an individual is going to be able to be punished. I think what it's going to happen is the IRS department will be punished. But I have been asked oftentimes, well, what is, in fact, when I was deposed by the DOJ on behalf of the IRS, they asked me, well, what do you want from this? And I want justice. I don't ever want another American to have to go through what I went through with the harassment from the IRS for almost 3 years.
But there was a woman in charge of it. Wasn't there a woman behind all this? I forget her name by now, who conveniently resigned. What was her name?
Lois Lerner was the head at the time, but there were a multitude of other employees who had their hands and eyes on our application for the nonprofit status. There were dozens of IRS agents that were under her, that as well as her, that had their eyes on our application.
Let me ask you this. Your group, NorCal Patriots, has been how many years in court over this?
We in court since the 13 is when.
No. How many years have you been pursuing this justice, this case?
I started in 2010. And
wow.
It did get.
Wow, the wheels of justice sure turn slowly when you have a government that hates you, doesn't it? So Judge Kethledge said that the IRS turned the law on its head and used the law that was set up to protect you and all the other Americans from an oppressive governmental agency and instead turned around and protected the governmental agency from the citizens. Who represented you? A lawyer named Edward Green, a lawyer at Graves Garrett. And how is he being paid? Where are you raising your money from?
We have a third-party funder who is paying them. This is not a pro bono. We have a third-party funder who is paying.
You mean an individual? Wait, are you saying an individual stepped up to fund this for you?
I'm saying Citizens for Self-Governance is who is funding this as a third-party funder, and there are donors that are funding this.
Wow. How do people who are listening to the Michael Savage Show send your group money to pursue this case against the IRS? Ginny, is there a website?
Well, they would go to suetheirs.com.
I love it. That's simple. Suetheirs.com. Yay.
And they can make a donation there. It will go through Citizens for Self-Governance, who is the funder for this. And we are going to take it to the finish line.
Okay, last question. Suetheirs.com. As a result of your lawsuit, have you seen the IRS auditing members of your organization?
Did you ask me that question? Have I seen them?
Yeah. Since you started this case against the IRS, has the IRS come down on your people with audits?
Well, that's difficult to prove. I do have people that have said that they have been audited, but we're a 501c4, so they do not have access to our donor list. That's why I applied for a 4, so that I would not have to give away my donors.
You're a very smart person.
An audit.
You're a very smart person. I'm saluting you for being so, having so much guts, plain English. Big story, big victory. But at the end of the day, Tea Party groups want a full list of other nonprofit groups that were targeted by Obama's IRS. And the IRS has stonewalled you. Eventually, we'll get those names of those who were applied or were approved and those who were blocked by the Obamaites and the IRS who were using it as a private fiefdom to stop the emergence of a conservative movement, in essence, in the country. Isn't that what they were doing?
That's exactly right. And we will be able to get the list of those names. And I know who some of them are already, and I'm sure the attorneys know them, too.
Well, Ginny, you're an honorary Eddie on the Savage Nation. I've been talking about the silent majority in this country, the silenced majority. And Ginny Rapini represents this fighting spirit that I'm talking about. We're all not dead yet. Ginny, we really, really appreciate your coming on. SueTheIRS.com. Good luck in your case, Ginny, and congratulations.
Thank you very much.
See, that was short and sweet. No questions to be asked that I didn't ask, and I helped them if I could. And now let's go back to the big question of Obama and the war against terror that he refuses to fight, saying that they're not an existential threat. And saying that we defeat them by saying you're not strong, you're weak. I never saw such insanity in my life. I'm starting to think that this guy is not only not as smart as we think, but he may actually be, well, let's leave it at that. This makes no sense. You defeat ISIS by saying to them, you're not strong, you're weak? And then what? Na, 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 na. Sorry, got to go back to the baseball game. KLIF, Peter, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Thank you, Dr. Savage. And you kind of just touched on it right there. It's, I think that Obama's catching a little, I'm not a supporter of his, but I think he's catching a lot of flack for not leaving the baseball game. And you kind of just said it yourself. What's he going to do when he leaves the game? He's going to get out there. He's going to apologize for America for one reason or another. You know,
that's not what a leader should do. He should have come back from his little Easter break for his children, come back to Washington, become the commander in chief, and say to the people of Europe, we're in solidarity with you, and we're going to give you the full extent of our military and intelligence services to track down these vermin, and we'll kill them. That's what a leader would have done.
And I agree with you there. That is
all right, so you agree with me. That's all. Next case. Come before Judge Savage. Maybe I should get a Judge television show. I'm better than Judge Judy. You say, well, I'm not a lawyer. But I make judgment calls every day. Every day of my life on this radio show, I make judgment calls. If someone's approached me to do a Judge Savage show, I don't know. I'm not ready for television. I have a face for radio, to be honest with you. And Teddy's agent is just asking too much money, to be very honest with you. Teddy's agent is holding on for too much. Joseph on WABC Radio, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, Joseph?
Doctor, it's a privilege. My son calls you the mensch of madness because you see through this liberal insanity like some plain glass window. And I get a kick every time he says that. But why I called is this. What I find hard to believe, really hard to believe, is that nobody ever mentions the word Arab. Everyone's mentioning the word Muslim, radical Muslim. I have many Muslims in my family. But no one ever mentions the word Arab. There are many, many, many people. There are no black Muslims creating, or I shouldn't say any. Let's just say that the vast majority of the people that have been doing this are Arab. And yet, no one.
Oh, I know. Well, what you see, now we're moving into an area I don't think we should go. I have one of the finest men I know is an Arab Christian, so I don't know what you're getting at.
Well, here's what I'm getting at specifically, okay, because this is what troubles me. And I have family who feel the same way, and they're Muslim. And here it is. These communities that have, you mentioned the mosques so correctly, in that a lot of them are breeding grounds for these insurgents, for lack of a better word. So, but any good...
What, you mean you have preachers up on the dais preaching hate America every day?
Absolutely. It's insanity. But what gets me is this, okay? What gets me is, if I'm a good Muslim, and there are many, many good Muslims, good people, hardworking people, problem is that if you said to me, you being the government or whomever, that we're going to help you rid yourselves of these vermin, there's no word that describes them, no word. And it's growing every minute of every day. And if we don't...
That's right. Obama brought in almost 700,000 Muslims over the last 5 years. How many of them are radicals? How many of them hate America? How many of them are ticking time bombs? How were they vetted? They were not vetted. They're all over the country. We see them everywhere we go. People are not blind. We walk the streets and we see them looking at us with hatred. I'm not a blind man. I can walk past a Muslim and not see hatred. I can see another one walking. I see steaming daggers of hate coming out from under the burqa. Every woman I've ever seen in full body covering, if I dare look at them, they project back the most hateful looks I've ever seen on the planet. Do you know that?
It's scary. Helen Keller could see it.
Are you a Muslim yourself, Joseph?
No, I'm not a Muslim. But I have a lot of my family married into the Muslim.
All right, fine. I happen to know that the burqa is not part of the Muslim tradition. It is not in the Quran, for example. It's an add-on from a medieval time when women were treated like chattel, meaning objects of ownership. It's a mark of slavery. It is not a mark of freedom or liberation for a woman.
Which killed...
And by the way, incidentally, the burqa is outlawed in liberal France. Do you know that?
Of course. It should be. It should be.
So why is it that in this country we're supposed to look the other way? We see a woman walking around like a slave.
Because...
I see chains. I see a woman in the heat walking around covered from head to toe, and only the slits of her eyes can show out in the heat. What kind of freedom is that?
It's insanity. And our liberal brothers I call them brother, for lack of a better term, okay, our liberal brothers misconstrue kindness for weakness.
That's yes, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. You mean they misconstrue their weakness for kindness?
Exactly. You know,
right. Yeah. They make believe that their weakness is kindness when it's not kindness, it's weakness. Or you take a collaborationist like Rachel Maddow. Why are they always on the side of radical Muslims? I don't understand. There's almost sympathy on MSNBC for them. Every other day, I'm turning it on, I'm hearing about the mindset of the bomber. They're running around with a microphone, tell us what they were thinking and why they did it. I don't give a damn why they did it and what they're thinking. I want to see Raqqa carpet bombed like Ted Cruz. I'd like to see Raqqa turned into glass.
And, you know, I bring this...
All right, I don't want to go on because I'm going to lose control if I haven't already. How many of us have to die until the majority in America finally elect a government that speaks for us? What's the number? Let's see, 3,000 at World Trade Center marshaled America, and we had Doofus in the White House for a number of years, and we all happily cheered when he bombed. We saw shock and awe. We thought we were getting somewhere. But at the time, I said, wait a minute, this could be a big error here. They may not even be the reason for the war. Number two, Saddam may be our best friend to control the Sunnis in his country. It's a big story. I wrote about it way back when, 10 years ago. Well, I couldn't have 10 years ago. Talking about 15 years ago. And I did write about it. I said, if this calculation is incorrect, it will be the greatest military disaster in American history. Unfortunately, it wasn't correct. Okay, that's hindsight. Great. So I was a genius. But that's not the point. The point is that Saddam Hussein, after Bush won, was just where we wanted him. He was an important controller of the Sunni population in Iraq that was murderous, and it had to be controlled through a terror campaign that only he could conduct. You understand what I'm saying to you? I hope you understand this. It's the same miscalculation that was made with Muammar Gaddafi. A monster, but the kind of monster that the monsters that are killing us now are afraid of. And only by permitting monsters that they're afraid of to control them will we ever gain control over the monsters again. And so think about that in great detail before you talk about spreading democracy around the world. Democracy cannot be implanted in places where it's not inherent in the literature and the culture of the people. Write that down. You can't transplant an idea of democracy into areas of the world where they have lived for 1,000 years with hatred, oppression, and slavery. Apparently Obama didn't learn that at Harvard. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica. All right, so there's a lot of hand-wringing, and Hillary's saying, let's go slow and steady, and Obama says they're not an existential threat. Meanwhile, people are dying around the globe from one terrorist attack or another. All these phony liberals are telling us they have it under control. They have nothing under control. It's metastasized and gotten stronger. So now we're being told that their worst nightmare is coming to pass, which is autonomous ISIS cells that they can't control. You know, of course you could control them. You know what they look like. You know what communities they're in. You can't control them. That's insanity to say you can't control them. And the biggest insanity is why you let them back in the country. Say, oh, well, they went over to Syria and they were radicalized and they came back. And they let them back in? Same here. Why don't they lose their passports? Why don't they lose their citizenship? Because that's a violation of the vermin who run the EU. And why, by the way, was Brussels attacked? Not Paris this time. Why is Brussels the weakling of Europe now? What is Brussels? Brussels is the center of the European Union. Brussels is the center of the very mentality that has broken down the borders of Europe and flooded Europe with Muslims from the Middle East and from Africa. And look at the reward they just got. So the EU is a disaster. It's a catastrophe for everyone in the European Union. And they're trying their best to keep it together with spit and string. This is the Savage Nation. Be very wary. Be very wary indeed.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I think we do have to have a clear objective of defeating ISIS, of defeating the tactics and activities of terrorists. That's something I've been talking about for some time. I think the way to do that is to deprive them of territory in Syria and Iraq, to stop the flow of foreign fighters, arms, weapons, and to take them on the Internet, which they use in a quite sophisticated way.
There's nothing. She doesn't know what she's talking about. More of the same. College talk. More college talk. Slush after a snowstorm. Internet. Take them on the Internet. That would have stopped the bombing in Brussels. The Internet would have stopped it. Only they had the Internet. Their bombs wouldn't have gone off at the airport and the subway. If only they could have used the Internet more cleverly, there won't be more bombs in the world. Yeah, right, that really makes sense. More Band-Aids for broken brains from Hillary Clinton. Doesn't know what she is talking about. Repeating the mantra of the radical left that is a sister movement to the radical Islamists. Make no mistake about it. I wrote over 300 pages on the confluence between progressives and Islamists and Government Zero. I elucidated my thesis in a better manner than I would have for a PhD thesis, and many of you bought the book and understand what I'm saying to you. So we're hearing more of the same garbage from Obama, from Hillary, from Bratton, from de Blasio, from SNBC, this and the messy NBC, whatever. All the same. Don't radicalize them by looking at them. Look the other way. And, you know, don't radicalize them. You mean does radicals amongst them exist? No. But so how can you radicalize them? If they're such nice people, wouldn't they turn in the bombers amongst them? Wouldn't they want to help America if they're part of America? You would think so. Wouldn't they want to clear up the name of their community like every other community has done in the past, whether it's the Japanese Americans, I said to you, fought so bravely with the 442nd Division of World War II, the most highly decorated unit of World War II, I believe, and they wanted to prove that their people were not all like those from the militaristic Japan that had attacked us at Pearl Harbor. So they volunteered for an all-volunteer brigade. Why not an all-volunteer Muslim-American brigade to go fight ISIS somewhere, to show us that there are not radicals everywhere we turn? How come? Oh, that would be what? Which ist would that be? Tell me what ist that would be. Can CARE come up with the answer to that one? You know, if I were given to conspiracy theories, which I am not, I would say that ISIS itself probably came up with the mantra that by surveying Muslim communities, you radicalize those who are not already radical. That's brilliant. How could you better neutralize an enemy than by telling them what not to do to find you? So you go to Harvard, or NYU, or some, I don't know, Doyle, Dane, and Brain Dead, if they still exist. You go to Doyle, Dane, and Brain Dead, and you have a PR agency in Dubai come up with a strategy for you to defeat the enemy in a Trojan horse manner. You figure out, so let's see, their idiot values are, blah, blah, blah. Let's see if we can use the idea of values. Wait, so we'll start with that one. Okay, our values do not permit this kind of surveillance. Okay, that's a good one. That flies with the Brain Dead in the colleges. So they repeat values now for years. Then a bomb goes off. Now the next one is from Bratton. It's a stigmatizing entire community. That's a good one that came out of a Dubai PR agency. What's the next one they're going to come up with? Stupid. Stupid is as stupid does. That's why Trump is right. These are stupid people running everything in this country. Idiots. They gave away the store. Now they're giving away our freedom and our lives themselves. And that's why we're talking about this today. And my main point for the last 2 hours has been the big lie that surveying Muslim neighborhoods would radicalize communities is what I'm talking about. And my evidence is the Italian community, who didn't seem to mind when the gangsters were rounded up in their community. Oh, in the beginning they were afraid when the police were looking for the black hand. They knew they would have been killed. But eventually they were glad that the Italian-American community was not overly identified as everyone being in the mafia. Right? You know that? They didn't like The Sopranos. I don't know if you know this, but most Italian-Americans resented the HBO series The Sopranos because it made people think that, uh-oh, here we go, every Italian is a gangster again. They didn't like it at all. And so I don't think that they would mind if the bad ones were found out, named and shamed, and of course brought to justice. And they would help bring them to justice. And I think that's the same in every community. And I think that the rubbish we're hearing, excuse me, from Hillary, or that we heard from the police chief of New York, or from this guy, I don't know who he is, Hayden, former NSA and CIA director, you hear? We're thinking like that. No wonder, with Hayden speaking like this, no wonder ISIS has metastasized and why we haven't defeated them in so many years. Here is a guy, Michael Hayden, former head of the NSA, the unit that's been spying on Americans for years. Remember them? We were all worried about that about a year ago. They were listening to everything you did on your iPhone. Instead of focusing on the Muslims amongst us, they're focusing on the patriots amongst us. CIA director, have you seen what the CIA has done? They're recruiting transgenders now. So nothing wrong with that. Oh, really? That's the highest priority, is to make it look like a college campus? The highest priority in the war on terror is to make sure that the CIA looks like a college campus. Make sure you hire transgendered spies. That's the one thing that ISIS is afraid of. Nothing scares them more than a transgendered spy from America dropping in by magic. We're going to parachute in 10,000 transgendered spies into Syria. And they're going to infiltrate ISIS because the ISIS people are terrified of transgenders. And that's why we must have more transgenders in the CIA. This is the thinking. Only Mad Comic could understand the sarcasm of what I just said. So here's Michael Hayden, NSA and CIA. I don't mean to yell. I'm getting overly excited in my third hour. Where the energy is coming from is miraculous when I think about it. I should be tired. Instead, I got energized. It must be the new diet I'm on, which I just violated. That's why I'm feeling good. I was on a diet for 2 days. It left me without energy. Terrible. Every time I go on a diet, I get sick. So I just had the bad Chinese food again. I feel one. I feel great. I'm back to my normal self. So here we are. Here's Michael Hayden. We don't have radicalized community. Okay, just listen to clip 9. Tell me if you agree or disagree with him or me. Go ahead.
We don't have radicalized communities in the United States. Mm-hmm. We have some radicalized individuals. Mm-hmm. We have it within our ability, however, to create radicalized communities, and we ought to take every step not to do that. Our cultural bent towards assimilation is a strategic and operational advantage. Put aside the question of American values, it makes us more safe than our European friends.
All right. You heard it all before, college lecture. Classic, politically correct college lecture, diversity training. College, cultural bent towards assimilation. So let's see how that works in the Muslim communities. So when Ahmed is meeting Muhammad somewhere to set off a bomb, one of them says, wait a minute, we shouldn't do it because there's a cultural bent toward assimilation in America. We should assimilate. That'll stop the bomb making. You're right, Michael. That makes good sense. And secondly, our values would stop them from setting off the bomb, too, because they don't want to violate American values by killing innocent men, women, and children. Because their values are maybe a little different than us, but they have to respect our values because we respect theirs. Nah. Now you know why ISIS has not been defeated. It's because of these people. NYPD Police Commissioner Bratton, who attacks Cruz, he did it in the most idiotic way I've ever heard. He sounds like a dummy who has survived all these years in L.A. and out here simply by being more liberal than thou. Bill Bratton, I think, is such a politically correct police commissioner that it's only a matter of time until something horrible happens in New York. Let's pray I'm wrong. Listen to 08.
I would remind the senator he lives in the United States of America. And the statements he made today is why he's not going to become president of this country. Because we don't need a president that doesn't respect the values that form the foundation of this country. I have over 900 very dedicated...
All right, you heard the story. We heard all the same talking points. They all come out of Obama's PR agency. Yeah, here's the talking points for the day. I'm busy. Where is he now? Cuba's Venezuela, Argentina. It's on spring break with the family. Put two and two together. Look it up. I think that this is exactly spring break for the daughters. And the mother-in-law is getting restless. She's saying, look, we're out of the White House soon. Could have one trip. We haven't been to Tierra del Fuego yet. So they constructed a whole trip probably to go see the penguins down there. But it's a very important diplomatic tour. He is again putting America down at every stop. You ever have a whistle stop tour from former presidents where they went around the country trying to motivate people to vote for them? Here's a guy on a whistle stop tour around the world trying to get the world to hate us even more than they do. America's bad. The previous presidents were worse. The people, all the gringos, are no good. I'm different. I'm not like them. You'll see a different America. And then one tour after another, we're paying for this. It's wonderful being president. It really is. You think of the power you have, and there's no consequences to no matter what he does. And if you think he's bad now, you're right. But if you think this is the end of the road, you're wrong. You wait until you see what he does come August. Beware the Ides of August. I warn you, I said it to you when Bush was in power. I've been in the radio business 22 years the other day. It was in August of 08, I believe. Or was it 07? I don't remember. The last 4 months of Bumbler's regime. And I had said something's wrong with this picture for 3 months. I was saying, wait a minute. George Bush has expanded the federal bureaucracy and the federal budget 6 times larger than the previous 5 presidents. So I declared him to be a fiscal socialist. And, of course, I was roundly condemned by all of the true conservatives, as you well know, the true conservatives who were invited to have tea with Laura and Bumbler. I wasn't invited. I only wrote the 20-some-odd books at that point, but I wasn't literate enough for Laura. Nevertheless, they called me every name under the sun, but I was right. George Bush was a fiscal socialist, and I said so in the August of that year. But I said, wait a minute, he's going to get much worse before this is over. And sure enough, his buddies burned America's housing market to the ground. They burned the paper to the ground. They bailed out of the housing market. They left everyone broken. They killed some of the greatest brokerage houses in American history. They sacked the economy in the last few months of his regime. That's Bush the Bumbler. So if you think that what you've been living through is terrible, you are right. It's been a reign of terror. On a mild note, I'm a history student. I know what the real reigns of terror are. I studied the French Revolution. I know about the communist revolutions. This is a minor reign of terror. What's going to happen come September will make everything he has done before it look like child's play. Mark my words. Put it down. Mark the date down, the 23rd of March. You think he can't get away with more? He's getting away with everything he wants. So you say, well, what can he do next? Let's see. How many amendments are to the U.S. Constitution? Count them and see which ones he might want to modify to make them more fair. Which amendments don't please the great peripatetic president? And you'll see him go after them tooth and claw. And with little help from his friends, like Mad Dog Maddow and the others who I don't even have to name, they'll say it's good for America to make sure that Eddie is not armed. And you see, Eddie, it all comes back to you. It is about you, Eddie. It's about you that they fear. It's you with a gun, Eddie. That's who they really fear, and that's who they really despise. They have more contempt and more fear for you than they do for the Arabs and ISIS. Do you know that? If you were to scratch the surface of any liberal in this country, especially those in the media, or shall I say the government media complex, you would find quickly that they have more contempt for the average American white guy who is armed to the teeth than they do for ISIS. Yes, indeed. I see the truth, and I don't wait. And I'll be back in a minute to take your calls right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2610. Here's a funny story. Harry Reid says never, ever, ever underestimate Trump. I've always found Harry Reid to be the most interesting of the Democrats for a number of reasons. He fights dirty, I know that, but he's a former boxer, and so he knows what combat really is, and he's willing to do hand-to-hand combat, and he's done it for his progressive side. He's also the smartest amongst them. He says, never, ever underestimate Trump. And he said, well, Democrats are already celebrating the fact that Hillary will be president. Reid said the party should brace for how unpredictable this election could be with Trump on the ballot. And so Harry Reid says this. He says, never, ever, ever underestimate Trump. No one should do that. I tried. Others have tried. He's a hard guy to predict, Reid said in a telephone interview on Wednesday. One of the most unorthodox candidates for the presidency in modern times, certainly in modern times, postmodern times, a real unusual deal we have here. Still, Harry Reid would not say whether he would prefer that Democrats face Trump or Senator Cruz. So Harry Reid says flatly, I don't think it matters. You have one who has been plotting to be president for 6 or 7 months. That's Trump. You have Cruz who has been plotting to be president since he was in elementary school. He's got his number. Yeah. Well, what's the big takeaway from yesterday? Well, Arizona was clear. Huge landslide for Trump. and he lost Utah because the, I'm sorry to tell you, the ballots were stuffed. There are long, many reports of people having 50 ballots in their hands. And this is what you have when you have an insular population in any state. They are absolutely corrupt. And I think that Utah was a, you saw a corruption, a result of a corrupt voting. That's my estimation. Then you had the crazy guy, the hemorrhoid with ears up there screaming about Jesus and God and the Bible, that Cruz was the anointed one who came from God to save the world. How is that man still on the radio? Why have they not taken him out in a straitjacket? I don't understand it. If you were to look at the arc of this man's statements and career over the last few years, from the hemorrhoid discussion, crying on the air, breaking down in tears, giving teddy bears at the border and saying he's a conservative, and now talking about Jesus is here because of Ted Cruz, and yelling at people and not taking the Bible serious, how in the world does he stay on commercial radio? It's a miracle to me. You can say almost anything today, and no one even questions what you say. Incidentally, how did America forget what socialism is? Your father fought socialism. Your father, by the way, if your father fought in Vietnam, he was fighting the equivalent of Barack Obama in Ho Chi Minh. Barack Obama is the Ho Chi Minh of America, in case you don't know it. Oh, it's a long story. I have to write a book about that one day, but I don't have the time, nor am I into academic essays. But that would be a great academic essay. Great one. What were you going to play for me, Robert, on the Savage Nation in the remaining 48, 7, 6, 5, 4? Let's hear it. Let's hear it.
We don't just go ahead and blow something up just so that we can go back home and say we blew something up. That's not a foreign policy. That's not a military strategy.
We do nothing.
and I do think it is important for the President of the United States and the administration to think through what they're doing so that they can achieve the objectives that are...
That's why Michelle and I are going to Tierra del Fuego.
Priorities of the American people.
With the girls, so I can think this through. Let those little people in Belgium deal with it. They can figure it out. We'll be thinking it through over the next number of days. There's 7 days left of spring break. And by the time it's over, I'll come up with a strategy. Guaranteed a winning strategy against ISIS. We don't just blow things up.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
We have to shut off the flow of foreign fighters, foreign funds, foreign weapons, and we've got to take them on the Internet. You know, you can put walls around your country, but you don't keep out the Internet, and that has been a major tool for radicalizing, recruiting,
really?
Propagandizing.
Well, you get a Nobel Prize for that,
Hillary. ISIS is quite sophisticated
using. Shut it up already. Go tell it to Tim Cook, who won't even help the FBI break an iPhone from terrorists who committed mayhem in this country in San Bernardino. You liar, you! Take on Apple, throw that bum in jail! Unbelievable to me. And look how Apple, how smart that you think they got that way by being stupid? They sell it to the gullible saying that they're for Americans and they're the freedom of the iPhone. That you don't want anyone cracking your iPhone. And the evil government that lets them get away with murder is now an evil government because it wants to look into the iPhone of a Muslim terrorist and find out who they may have talked to during that attack. Now, it's very interesting to me, and it's an interesting question that I'm about to raise. When that Apple iPhone is broken, and there's rumors that the Israelis are going to break the encryption on that iPhone, what if it turns out that Apple has been prohibiting the Justice Department, or the FBI rather, from gaining access to that data, and it turns out that they were communicating with some of the individuals who just committed this attack in Belgium? How would that work out for Apple? How would that work out, Timmy? Timmy Malad, how would that work out if, God forbid, your worst nightmare comes to pass, that your obstructionist mentality, putting profits above everything else on earth, not cooperating with the FBI in this terror investigation, turns out that Muhammad whatever and Farouk whoever, the wonderful, wonderful immigrants from somewhere land, who then executed their co-workers with machine guns in San Bernardino, and then they fled. No one could find them. Remember that interesting time frame after they fled? It was like an OJ thing. The SUV couldn't be found. I kept saying, wait a minute, how does this make sense? How could the guys who just did the shoot-up, the man and the woman, there are police there who are following them. I said, where are they? It seems like there's something odd about that whole case. in that, how could people who just committed a massacre be driving around in a neighborhood like this for hours? Remember, we thought that it was sort of a false flag operation? It didn't make sense that they actually did it? Well, that's too far for the average person listening to the show. But nevertheless, their iPhone was found, or let's say the iPhone was found that allegedly belonged to the attackers in San Bernardino, and Apple is coming up with a preposterous lie that they don't want to help the government crack that specific iPhone because they're interested in the privacy of the average American and iPhone users around the world. Well, that's such rubbish. That's utter garbage. Because they can make a key to unlock a specific phone, break the encryption of a specific phone that would not have the combination to any other phone. That's well known in the industry. It's been known for months now. We talked about it. A hacker was on the show describing how you could do it. You make a specific key only for that phone. You unlock that phone, and you throw the key away. And it does not affect the security of any other holder of an Apple product. It's utter rubbish. So what is Tim Cook of Apple really doing? And why is he not cooperating? And why is he not held in contempt of court? A federal judge said you have to cooperate with the FBI. Is he above the law? Are you kidding? He's bigger than the law. He is the law. Apple, Facebook, Google, these people are the government. They're bigger than the government. The government are little marionettes to these people. And so that's why they're able to get away with this. They're playing with the FBI. The FBI is the only independent agency that I can tell left in this government. Comey will not kowtow to Obama. We don't know what's going to happen with the Hillary scandal yet. A lot of rumors, but we don't know if they'll ever crack the whip. Not with Loretta Lynch in the Attorney General's office. Why, she was handpicked by Al Sharpton, that great paragon of virtue and genius, that highly educated street preacher from New York, the great Reverend Sharpton. No one knows where he got his reverend's license from, probably a Cracker Jack box in Brooklyn. But nevertheless, that doesn't stop hateful Maddow from calling him Reverend, nor from everyone else in the media falling over themselves, calling him by the name Reverend. Are you kidding me? Where do you earn his reverend's degree from? What does that mean? Nothing. Anyway, that character, that shady street character, who has caused mayhem all of his life, and by the way, owes, as I can tell, the IRS millions and millions of dollars. How come the federal government, the IRS, is not going after Al Sharptongue and his front groups? How come they're allowed to get away with it? The same reason Obama's allowed to get away with what he gets away with, etc. They own the government. Okay, so Apple can get past the encryption. We all know that. But I raised another hypothetical, and I like doing that because it's a radio for the thinking person. So think for a minute. What is it that Apple knows? Think about this one. Apple knows what the encryption is. They can break the encryption, which means they already have. They've looked into that iPhone, so they're not blocking it for any reason other than they don't want us to know what's on that phone. That would be one suspicion. In other words, if I were a novelist, which I am, 3 best-selling novels and many unpublished novels, which you'll see one day, I discovered another one today in the archives. I couldn't believe it, written in 1983. It's such an amazing novel. I'm going to send it to my agent immediately. I was stunned by it. 70 typewritten pages with a full outline that nobody would touch way back when. It was about nuclear war, etc. It was unbelievable. So well written. I'm impressed with myself. I used to be very unsure as to whether I was wasting my time or not. But the point is that if I were an active novelist, which I am, but not at this moment, I'm on the radio, this would be a great plot line, which is that the big, powerful telephone, the iPhone company, which is more powerful than any government on earth has ever been, knows what's on the phone of the terrorists and comes up with some PR garbage as to why they don't want to let the FBI look into it. Why? What if it turns out that there's some relationship between the attackers in San Bernardino, for one, and those that just occurred in Belgium, and they're blocking it because they don't want you to know that? Or what if there's an even more nefarious connection between Apple and terror networks? And I don't mean in a direct manner. Don't get me wrong. Don't misinterpret what I'm saying to you. What if there is some sort of agreement between Apple and certain sophisticates of the terror network who, this is a novel now, who would say to this company, we won't bomb your stores in our neighborhoods if you don't break that phone. You leave the phone alone, you don't look into it, you block the FBI, use all the powers that Mark Zuckerberg and you have to fight the government. They're nothing compared to you. You can spin this for years, hire the best lawyers, the best liars from the law firms in America will do anything to sell a nation down the river. And just keep them spinning. Keep the idiots in the FBI at bay. We don't want them to know what's in that phone. And we don't even want to tell you why. What if, I'm saying fiction now. Fiction. Made up. Invented. Fiction. It's art not imitating life. It's pure art. That's a big story. So what if? Well, you're not allowed to think in America. It's called illegal. Thinking has actually become illegal in America. It may lead you to some conclusions you don't want to come to. It's easy to listen to Hillary say, you can put up walls, but you can't block the internet. And we can fight ISIS. How? How are you going to block the internet if you can't get Apple to help you? How can you stop them on the internet if you get a jerk like Mark Zuckerberg, who has banned conservatives from Facebook, but won't ban terrorists from Facebook? How do you like that one? How do you ban them from the internet, Hillary, if your friend over there, the communist from Germany, Merkel, the former Eastern European communist Merkel, who has banned the, quote, far right in Germany, but has not banned Muslims from flooding in and dominating her country? How do you put that together, Hillary? Do you agree with her or you disagree with her? Well, you know that they're all sisters under the cloak. They're all sisters under the cloak. They have the same exact mentality. Crush the Yeti, in other words. In Germany, they crushed the Yeti of Germany. They banned, quote, far-right parties. That was the majority of American German males. They weren't all members of the Nazi party in Germany. Most of them were not, in fact. They were not. They were members of anti-Muslim immigration parties. Not Nazis. Totally different. But Merkel, the communist, for her reasons, would rather see Germany disappear altogether than give up an ounce of power for the European Union. And so the same is going on here. The same themes are being played out in this country, at least in my opinion. So I'm giving you one man's worldview. This is my analysis. It's what I'm paid to do. Now, radio is very interesting. Did I put out what I just said as fact? Well, I implied that it's factually correct, or I wouldn't have said it. Can I prove it's factually correct? No, it's impossible. But the evidence would indicate that what I just said is correct. Just look at their statements and look at what they let happen. Look at what they are let happen, right? So that's how radio works. Radio is very interesting, talk radio today. And I don't talk enough about it. I have one or two friends I talk with about radio today and the challenges we face, where so much of it is the same every day, day in and day out. You can go crazy from it. Primaries, every day, it's the same thing. Democrat, he got 433 delegates, he needs more, they may block him, Romney did this, that one did that. All right, you can get that in 2 seconds on the internet. And then we can talk about it if you want, and I don't think the ratings would be different one way or the other. If I did that every day, I'd have my same ratings I have now. Do you know that? It wouldn't go down or up. Because people are listening to the show. So I could fake it, and I could run through the garbage of the day like that, and you'd still listen. Yeah, Mike, I agree. Mike, I don't agree. Okay, I get it. But I think that radio, as I see it, having been in the business a long time, has changed so much that we can't just do what's been done, and that unless we are somewhat enlightening or entertaining, there's no reason to be in talk radio anymore. And this will become more true come January 2017. You'll see what happens. You will see the landscape of radio change more rapidly than you could ever imagine, because the election will be over. And I doubt very much that you're going to want to hear more about it. If, God forbid, Hillary wins, that's the end of the road for the Eddies. He's not going to listen to talk radio anymore. He will turn it off. It's over. There'll be no more political talk radio. It'll all be NPR propaganda for Hillary Clinton. There'll be no need for this, because the people will know they've been burned again. And I don't want to be one of those who they look back upon and say, he burned us by promising us something else. I'm not promising you anything. So what I'm saying to you is talk radio either has to remain entertaining or enlightening. Enlightenment is a whole different world. It's very hard to do enlightenment unless you understand what enlightenment is and you yourself were enlightened, then you could enlighten others. Now, I'm not saying I'm a guru, but I do have insights that enlighten people. What does the word enlightened mean? I want to talk about what that means, enlightenment. You associate that with a liberalization of thinking, a liberalization of the soul, liberalization of the mind, and you'd be correct to do so. But in talk radio, if you can't outright entertain, that would be what? What's entertainment? Jokes, music, sports, that's all entertaining. It has a huge audience for that. People want to relax during the day. I told you last night I didn't watch the primaries, and if you just tuned in, I couldn't take one more minute of watching the mad people in the media. I wanted to break the television set. I wanted to stick my hands through the screen and grab Wolf Blitzer's suit and rip it off him and see him as the naked Bolshevik that he is. I wanted the world to see that squirming worm for this thing that he really is. And then you look on the other channels and you see these creatures from the Black Lagoon coming up, like Machel Radow, whatever. And you say, I can't watch it. I turned it off and I watched The Count of Monte Cristo, as I said. I didn't even know the movie existed from 2002. 2 hours I sat in the dark room watching this on an HD television. And as the night fell, I enjoyed it more. I didn't, one second did I turn back to the primaries. I didn't care. And at the end, I found that Trump won Arizona and Cruz stole Utah. As I predicted it would, as I predicted in my own mind would happen. But the fact of the matter is, I wasn't interested in it anymore. So I said, what am I going to do tomorrow? And it becomes a challenge every day. Well, there's something that I did today that I think is important. Thus far, I talked about terrorism and what must be done. We need a much more muscular response to the radical Muslims. That's number one. We can't let the liberal rubbish pervade our thinking or we're all going to be dead or injured. And number three, I talked about Eddie. And I defined who Eddie is. And I started a new movement in America, which I don't intend to run with, but somebody else will. You are Eddie. All of you are Eddie, and it transcends race, by the way. I don't think I articulated that clearly enough. I did so by explaining the fact that the 442nd was all Japanese Americans, and it was formed specifically so that young Japanese American males can show that they were not like those Japanese who attacked us in Pearl Harbor. They wanted to show the average American out there, in other words, the white man, that they were patriots of America. I'm still waiting for the Muslim 443rd to be created by CARE. Maybe some of the blowhards from CARE can suggest that to prove that they're loyal Americans, they're going to suggest that the U.S. military create a battalion or a division specifically of Muslim Americans who will go and fight the terrorists in their homeland. Wouldn't that be nice to wake up to that? Because I remember in the 1950s when I was a little kid in New York, in Queens, New York. I have to tell the story. I know I'm running out of time. I'm in a very loquacious mood. It must be the Chinese food. How I do it is a miracle altogether. A miracle. Men half my age are dead and buried already who said I wouldn't live. I'll tell you when I come back what went on in the Chinese restaurant during the Korean War right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. The only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO. So in the few seconds or a minute or so that remains, I want to go back to what I said before I was so rudely interrupted by the need to take an important commercial break, which is we're looking to see loyalty amongst Muslim Americans so that people don't look upon them suspiciously. I mean, that's the naked truth. That's what we're arguing over. Right now, people suspect those who come from the Middle East that they're not really loyal Americans, that they will never assimilate, and they really want to do us harm. That's what most people fear. And they feel it intuitively for good reason, because there's very little assimilation, and the open hostility is what we're talking about. So I go back to the 442nd Regiment, I believe, World War II Japanese-American youth who joined this brigade and were one of the most highly decorated units in the history of World War II. They wanted to prove that the Japanese people of America were loyal to America. So now I want to move it up to the early 1950s. Korean War, war with China. It was a proxy war with Communist China. The Chinese restaurant on Utopia Parkway, no, Union Turnpike in Queens that we all ate in, put up a huge sign. I was a little kid, and I remember to this day, emblazoned across their front window was an American flag and I Love America. The Chinese people put that up on their window. Have you seen one Muslim American front group put up a sign saying, we are in solidarity with the people of Belgium? Have you seen one sign from CARE on the internet saying, we have sympathy for their deaths? No, my friends. And right now, there's some breaking news. ISIS has declared war on Europe. They're sending 400 so-called fighters to stage terror attacks all over Europe. You think they'll be stopped with the internet, Hillary? Or with nice talk, you idiots, you?